This is Neil Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries with founder and president Roy Beard. We're going to be talking about the things of God and how you can transform your life into following Jesus Christ to become more effective, more efficient, and more authoritative in your Christian walk. I hope you'll join us every week as we look at what God is saying in today's world. Well, I'm Roy Beard, and I thank you for joining us for today's message. I'm excited about what God's doing in this present hour. Last Sunday, we began talking about you're a Christian, you're not a victim. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. In Ephesians 5 and 1, it said, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Father, help us today, help us tonight, help us in this service to understand the purposes of God and the principles of God, and to rise up from the ash heap of life and realize we're victorious. We're not victims. We're children of the Most High God. Anoint me and anoint the ears of those that are listening so we will know what you have purposed for us in this hour. Last week, we began talking about the new birth and how that was basically the crisis that we began at the principle of salvation and began to move through, and we talked about bitterness, and we talked about how that we internalize it, and it becomes wrath, it becomes anger, it becomes clamor, it becomes evil speaking, it becomes malice. And Paul said, put that away. And he spoke to believers, and he told us that we're to operate in love and forgiveness, not bitterness. And we forgive. But forgiveness is not just simply calling a truce, and it's not admitting defeat. It's not letting evil win. It's saying, I forgive you. Let's put that behind us. You know, somebody comes to you and says, oh, forgive me. I know I really hurt you the other day, or last year, or last month, or whatever. And you say, oh, it was nothing. That's not the truth. You have just insulted them, and you just told a fib that you're going to have to repent of. Stop trying to be a holy angel and a saint. It hurt. Tell them, yes, it hurt. But I forgive you. If you won't admit you've been hurt, then you'll never reach the place of forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't condoning what they did. The psychiatrists tell us to forgive, but they don't know how. Only the gospel can tell me the why behind forgiveness and tell me how to forgive. And because God in Christ Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, has forgiven us, that's why he says, forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. See, that's a foundation. That's the reason why we forgive, because we've been forgiven. Sin, hear me, sin is a basic choice to be independent of God. When you repent of sin, it's not coming to the front of the church and listing all of your acts that you've committed. I heard somebody say one time in a revival service I was holding, they came up and said, I've broken every one of the Ten Commandments. And I thought, that's information you really didn't need to put out there. But
See, the sin's what you did. Sin is the set of my heart that I'm going to let run my life. I'm in control. Sin's not being in control. Sin is missing the mark. It's not that I've done a few naughty things, but I've set myself against God. That's the problem. I've rejected God. And even when I was doing right, the good things, they were wrong because they were done by a wrong person. I've sinned and I'm hostile to God and His purposes. Now, there are a lot of people in the church today who are doing their religious thing. They put on their mask. They go through the show. They go through the motions. They show up every time the doors are open. They look it. They talk it. But they don't walk it in their heart. All they do outward demonstrations is what they're doing for God. And God had better be pleased because they're doing it for Him. See, that's still sin. What does God do? What does God do in this whole situation? God takes the initiative. He took the initiative and He takes the initiative and He comes to us. The one that we sinned against, God, comes to us and in Jesus took our place. He chose to become the victim and bears all of the hurt. He bore every bit of the hurt. Everything that we brought upon ourselves because of sin against Him, He took that to the cross. And He not only takes all of our sin, but according to the Isaiah, He takes all of our grief and our sorrow and all of our ills, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. Things that our choices brought on us, He took it and He fully paid for it with His own blood. Then, not only did He go to the cross and die for us, but then He rose from the dead with the good news that there is reconciliation. He's achieved our pardon. We go free. Did you hear me? We go free. Not only that, but He gives to us His righteousness. He clothes us with His righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags, but He gives us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus so that we can stand before Him just as if we had never sinned. He remembers our sin and our iniquities no more. It's grace. It's grace. Hear me, it's grace. Remember the parable of the workers? They paid those who only worked 1 hour a full day's wages. The owner paid them all the same. And those that had worked all day complained, "This is just not fair." And the owner said, "That's right, it's not fair. But if I choose to be open-hearted and generous, but unfair, who are you to get upset because you agreed to work for that amount of money?" God is gloriously and wondrously not fair. Aren't you glad that God's not fair? Because if He was fair, we'd all go to hell. But we have freely been pardoned because of God's not fair, but He's merciful. We've been accepted into the presence of God. We've been accepted into the beloved, as close to God as God. He calls us His children. And we heard that incredible news about what God had done. That all that I had to do now was come out of my denial and admit, "You're right, Lord. It's me You're talking about. I am the one that rebelled. And I repent." That's a change of mind. That's a 180-degree turn. That's to turn and go the other direction. I will no longer take the position of the one that's hostile to You. I surrender and I receive Your mercy. And now I set my heart and my mind to obey the gospel. See, there's no discussion about the past. He meets us with open arms. We're pardoned. And that's the foundation for our forgiving other people. It's not just that it's good. And it's not that it's good for our mental health. It's not that it's good for relationships. It is. But it's the foundation that just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us, we forgive. Don't forget the be. It controls the whole sentence. It said, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. Be somebody that dishes out grace. Be a benefactor. Be a bestower of grace. It changes the whole outlook of life. It's no longer going through life as a poor victim. No, no, no. Now you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You've been forgiven. Hear me. You've been forgiven. Now you are more than conqueror through Him. You're victorious in Christ. He says, I've not only forgiven you, that you not only have forgiveness, but now you have so much left over. You can be a benefactor and give kindness and tenderheartedness, and you can be forgiving to other people. Let the be get into your spirit and get into this for the long haul. Literally, that word means become. You don't become kind overnight. You become. You grow into kindness. You grow into that character. You take bitterness and you get rid of it. But you become kind. You become tenderhearted. You learn a new lifestyle, a lifestyle of forgiveness wherever there's a hurt. You bestow grace and mercy and forgiveness and kindness on that person. It means that you're probably going to repeat the process time and time and time again. You deal with bitterness and it's over and done with. But when you choose, because of who you are, to be kind, to be tenderhearted, and to forgive in the light of what Christ has done for you, it's a process that may take all the rest of your days on earth. He's not just talking about behavior primarily. He's talking about who you are at the core of your being, who you are. Who are you? You're a child of the Most High God. Who are you? You've been pardoned by the grace of Almighty God. Who are you? You're a friend of God as well as a child of God. You're an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So in the light of that, let that begin to work out in your life. Be who you are. Become kind. Become tenderhearted. Become merciful. See, that behavior follows understanding who you are. Until you understand who you are, forgiveness will be next to impossible, because forgiveness begins with admitting that you were hurt. Then you choose to release it and let it go. Forgiveness is not divine amnesia. No, 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 no. It's getting rid of the poison. It's getting rid of the bitterness that makes every event in your life ugly. Forgiveness is releasing. When you release it, it's gone. You don't pick it up again. But how do we do that? Well, the simplistic answer is by faith. But that's not enough for us to fully understand. You see that when Jesus died for your sins, my sins, our sin, He also died for the sins of the person that hurt you. Grasp that. Justice has been done. It's in God's hands. You have to come to the place that you say, I'm not in control of your punishment. Oh, I may have wanted to be. And I may have thought you were deserving of some severe punishment. But it's admitting, Lord, and it's releasing it to the Lord and saying, Father, I understand. I'm not in control. If Stephen could say about his murderers, Father, forgive them, lay not this sin to their charge, then whose charge was it laid to? Jesus. When in the restaurant somebody puts down their Visa and says, don't put this on my American Express. Don't lay it on that charge. But it's laid on somebody's charge. Somebody paid it. I don't have to pretend it's okay. It wasn't okay. I don't have to pretend I wasn't hurt. I was hurt. But it's paid for. But who paid for it? Somebody paid for it. Justice has been done in the blood of Jesus. And now out of that sense of forgiveness, I can pray for them. I can release them into God's hand. I can totally be free, and they can be free. Now, it's between them and God. I'm not saying they were right, but it's between them and God. And from here on out, it's no longer in my hands. I'm no longer the judge. I'm no longer the arbiter of punishment. It belongs to God. It's Jesus's now. That's why we can bless those who curse us. Not because we got our heads in the cloud, not because we're so super pious, but because we've got our eyes on what Jesus did. I don't have to deny the cry for justice inside of me. I can let it go. But I have to let it go. I can't hold on to it. It's my choice, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. And when I make that choice, the grace of God gets all tangled up with my choice and empowers me to do it. And the joy and the peace of God and a sense of the greatness and the love and the mercy of God provides me that strength and that ability, and I'm enabled. Then the wealth, when it's there, it's just an outward expression, and when it isn't, I know that I shall never be in lack. See, when the priest raised his hands in the blessing of the people and said, "The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you," to them, they heard it, "It's done. The Lord wills my highest. He wills my best. He wills my prosperity. He wills my success. He wills my health. He's bringing me into my fullest potential as a human being on this day. He's energizing me and everything I touch by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God." And then he says, "And keep you." Now that's the part of blessing. It's part of it. But it's more than that. It means protection. It means energy. It means life.
Hallelujah. 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 I'm excited about what God's doing. In Psalms 121, he said, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come?" My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And the psalmist says, let me tell you what that means. It means you're kept in the innermost part of your person. You're kept in the outermost extension of who you are and what you do. And when you go out, and when you come in, when you sleep, and when you wake, you are kept. You're kept. You're kept. And Psalms 91 was written based on the blessing. Not going to take time to read it, but you're blessed. We're blessed. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come near our dwelling. 1,000 may fall at our side. 10,000 at our right hand. It won't come near us. We have been given, the angels have been given charge over us to keep us in all of our ways and bear us up in their hand, lest we dash our foot against the stone. You name it. You, no matter what you name, this man who has been forgiven, who has been blessed of God, that's in the covenant of God, God's covered all the bases. There's nothing from earth that can harm him. The worst that can harm him, the worst that man can do, and the worst that can be vomited out of hell, God says, let it come. Because I'm in the middle of it. I am protecting you. So I can say, I'm protected. I'm kept. Jesus quotes that to his disciples, and it's the blessing. Now hear me carefully. That was their mindset. You have to live in this. Every Israelite, when he began his day, it was with him. The words attended by the power of God keeping him and blessing him.
And it's all that he was and all that he did. You and I are a part of a better covenant established upon better promises. And I can tell you the promises of the old were absolutely incredible. And if they had all of that under Sinai, if they had all of that under the Abrahamic covenant, and we live in the fulfillment of the Abrahamic and a better one, oh, hallelujah. What do we have? Think about it. Today, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps and guards our hearts and our minds and our lives in Christ Jesus. Remember the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness that will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, this is a song. This is a testimony. This is a statement from a man who understood the blessing of God, and that he wasn't a victim. No. He's not a victim. When his enemies were pressing him, he said, "The Lord's my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I have no sense of lack. I don't care what it looks like. God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And he sings to God in the darkness and says, "I am a blessed man." That was their mindset. They were blessed. They knew the specialness to God. God desires to bless us. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He was somebody, God was somebody they could run to. They didn't run away from him. They knew their covenant. They knew their blessing. And every day they went forth with a confidence that God would be with them and be whatever they needed, and they could have wisdom and protection and ability and prosperity and health and healing and care and keeping and the defense and power of God. Whatever it was that set before them, they could do it because God, it wasn't earned. They didn't have to try to figure out how to earn it, or we try. They just accepted it, and being in the will and the desire of God, they understood it was covenant, and that because of who he was, they had it. It was faith, true faith, which heard from the promises of God and just said, "Thank you, Lord." There wasn't any struggle to believe or make it happen. They just rested in the relationship. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be in covenant. You have to understand, in their minds, a covenant made by God could not fail. It was impossible because God would never break his vow. Blessing began in the spirit, moved into the soul, moved into the emotions, into the body, and into everything that they touched. It was a part of their heritage. They weren't a victim. They couldn't be a victim. They couldn't comprehend anything short of the fulfillment of the promises of God. And today, you and I have a better covenant established on better promises in the new covenant. Then why do we have so much trouble believing it? I believe that it's in the foundation. And we too often have so much religious garbage inside of us as our foundation that we have nothing solid to build on. Most of us need to relearn what the Bible's all about, and beginning in Genesis and working our way through to Revelation. Simply put, we need a covenant mentality. rather than an evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic, Protestant mentality. We need to scrap our theology to a great degree and start over in the Bible basics and begin with the blood covenant and then begin that foundation and move forward in God and say, I am not a victim. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. And I cannot be, I will not be overcome. No, devil, you will not overcome me because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. No, devil, you will not defeat me because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. No, devil, you will not discourage me because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. No, difficulty, you will not steal my joy because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I am not a victim. I'm not a victim of circumstance. I'm not a victim of anything, my environment. I'm not a victim of anything. I have been blood washed and born again and bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been forgiven. And in that forgiveness, I know that I am triumphant. I am victorious and I will not fail. Why? Because I'm not a victim. I'm a Christian because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the promises of Almighty God. Some of you listening to me right now, you've been struggling. You've been struggling very, very, very much. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. Some of you have been praying for years and you see no sign, no evidence that it's happening. You've been crying out, and it doesn't seem like that your prayers are getting above the roof in your room where you're praying. It seems like God has forgotten you and forsaken you, but I'm here to tell you that if you will adopt the mentality that you are more than a conqueror through him that loves you and give up control. Just maybe some of you still trying to make it happen. You still trying to work it out. You quote, well, I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. But no, you don't have to work out what God's doing. You have to work out becoming who God wants you to be. You have to work at being that person. You have to work at being kind. You have to work at being tenderhearted. You have to work at being forgiving. But you do not have to do what God wants done. You simply have to give up control. You simply have to come before him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I've been trying to do it myself. You follow Frank Sinatra's, I did it my way. No, you can't do it your way. You do it his way. Some of you are going to see a change in this next week, because tonight, right now, you're going to lift up your heart to God and say, Father, forgive me. I've tried to be in control, and I know that I am not in control. I am not the master of my ship. I'm not the captain of my ship. I'm not the master of my fate. You and you alone are God. And I can't understand it. I don't see how you're doing everything you're doing. But I trust you. And I'm willing to put my entire future, my present, my past, and my eternity in your hands. Father, I pray for those hearing me right now that you would help them to understand that it's not what they do, it's what you did through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that makes a difference. It's your forgiveness that matters, not what we try to accomplish in our own strength, not how good we are and all of the righteous things that we do, but it's your blood, it's your covenant, it's your mercy. And right now, I ask that you forgive every person listening to me that has been trying to do it themselves. I ask you to forgive them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. Be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.